Introducing Instagram Teen Accounts, a new way to keep your teen safer as they grow, like making sure they always have their seatbelt on.
All right, sweetie pie, buckle up. Good job.
Or ring the bell on their bike.
Okay, kid, give it a try. Nice.
Or remember their elbow pads.
Knees too, okay? Yep, there you go.
New Instagram Teen Accounts. Automatic protections for who can contact your teen and the content they can see.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, something else I asked you about recently and got lots of emails about was access to GPs. Of course, GPs are doing their best up and down the country, but a number of you got in contact to say finding a female GP or someone who is an expert in female health can be a challenge. Dr. Siobhan Chidley runs Watermills Family Practice in Kildare and she joins me in studio now. Siobhan, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Now, not that we're going to ask you to solve all of this, you're one GP, but have you felt this also? Have you heard this from people coming to your clinic?
Yes, it's throughout. It's been for a good while. I think general practice is trying to catch up, and they have. I mean, we'd be a training practice, so they've doubled the number of GPs in training at the moment. They've doubled their number of spaces. So coming into GP training this year, there's double the number of GPs than there were last year. And interestingly, there were 1,200 people who applied for general practice last year for the 350 places. This year, there were 1,800 people who applied for the 350 places. So it's definitely, it's something that the College of GPs has been working on. But unfortunately, I suppose, like building houses, it takes a while to train a GP. And then not only to train them is to retain them. That's where the problem comes, is it's retaining them. And it's a complicated process, like building a house. But it is being worked on, I think.
And all of those things play a role, don't they? Because we do often hear of the brain drain, that we may have somebody train, but then the cost of living here, the difficulty in finding a house can often mean that they take that expertise to live elsewhere.
Definitely, they definitely live elsewhere. But it's I suppose the attraction of Ireland is family and people and the community. So people inherently, and especially the doctors, they want to stay here. But the problem with staying here, not only it's where to live and how to do it, it's the circumstances that a person might find themselves in working as a doctor in Ireland. And when you compare that, I believe, to places like Canada and Australia, where I haven't worked, but it is different. And the expectation that's put onto the doctor is different. And the lifestyle and the work-life balance that the doctor themselves can get is probably easier to achieve in different countries. And I don't think that's particularly addressed here at the moment.
I'm going to ask you a little bit about that in a moment, but the journal Investigates released some figures about GPs, and a surge in population hasn't quite been matched by this increase in GPs. As you say, it's going to take time, but we have an increasing population, we have an ageing population, so there is a lot of pressure on current GPs.
The pressure's huge. The pressure's huge because the general practice itself has changed massively, and I don't think the general person would be aware of how general practice has changed. When I started, general practice was a place that you popped in for with your sore throat, and if you had anything sort of really significant, you were referred to secondary care. Now general practice is taking over an enormous amount of secondary care. They're integrated in primary care teams into the secondary care unit. The depth and the detail that the GPs expected to know now, and the amount of care that the GP is providing now is way, way, way in excess of what it used to be. It's, you know, so each consultation, especially as a female GP, you find each consultation is 20 minutes, half an hour. If you have to do the detailed job, it's not the 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So you can't see as many people as you could during the day. And then the other thing that has come is a deluge of admin. It's a deluge of paperwork, form filling, which takes hugely valuable time for someone. Really, do you need to be a GP to do that type of admin? No. So it's about trying to expand the GP team, you know, but then there's sort of issues around contracts and provision of service that go with that. It's general practice is a massively changing, very exciting actually area at the moment, but it's people have to change their view of general practice, I think, and then the extra services that are involved in general practice need to take off, and then it'll come back, because basically you need GPs doing what GPs do, and the extra bits need to be done by someone else. But now what's happening is we're doing an awful lot of a load of extra bits that's taking away for our primary role as a GP.
And are people coming now more informed and more armed? I think it's been a positive thing in many ways, yeah. But what they say years ago, the doctor and the priest held all the power in each community, whereas now people are finding out information all over the place, from the internet to Dr. Google. So they're coming expecting more. And in many ways, that's a good thing that people are more informed, but that only ramps up the pressure.
Well, it ramps up the pressure, but I think it's fantastic. I like that. You know, it gives a vibrant consultation. It gives a discussion around what a person wants, so that the person is getting what they want out of their healthcare journey. But on the other hand, it's not to trivialize healthcare, but like if you were going to go and get a new kitchen, you Google it, you look at it, and you have your pictures, and you go with a picture of your kitchen. And then you don't go into the kitchen maker and say, do you mind doing the bedroom cupboards as well while you're here? So it's about being realistic with the expectation that the person coming to the doctor is coming with. So if you've gone and you've Googled that your rash is due to a reaction to your milk, and the doctor says to you, well, no, actually, it's probably not. It's maybe an issue with your platelets. We need to look at that. It's to be able to work in collaboration with the doctor, because you're coming to get the advice that you're seeking. You're not coming to with your shopping list with a list of orders. It's not the same as going to Tesco's, where you say, well, I want that, and then come out with that. And I think that's a lot of where GPs take up a lot of time. So if somebody would come in and say, I've got a chest infection, I need an antibiotic, it could take you 15 minutes to explain to somebody, but this isn't bacterial. This is viral. This is the, and then you have to go into lifestyle. Then you have to go into stress. Then you have to go into sleep. And all of those things take a lot of time, where previously it was, well, you have a chest infection, there's your amoxicillin, and go home and that's it. It's exciting. I think if the fact that people know more, you can have more of a discussion, and you can give people homework. And I think that's also what's a little bit missing. People think that healthcare is going to be provided to them, and it's not. It's actually provided with them. So it's to give advice, to go and look at it, to do bits, to come back, to work with it. And it's a collaborative process, very much like building a kitchen, back and forth and back and forth. It's not a beginning point and an end point. And I think people, especially people when they have to pay for it, they look at it and they come in and they say, look, I want, quote, bang for my buck. And they have 9 deep issues that they need to discuss. And it's physically not possible to get through that in 15 minutes. But, you know, again, it's the way, and it's how you present to your doctor. It's the type of discussion you have with the doctor. And I think it's not so much the doctor per se. It's the practice. Because I know in our practice, the most important persons is definitely the admin staff, and they know exactly with your, if you had a little discussion with them about what was wrong, they know which doctor to put you in with. Because each doctor has their strengths, each doctor has their weaknesses. And, you know, just because I'm female doesn't necessarily make my strength women's health. I mean, and on our menopause group, on our fertility group, on our termination of pregnancy group, the lead man actually is a man, and he's amazing. And he has every single knowledge about menopause, termination of pregnancy, fertility, and he would be my go-to. So the gender, I don't think, is as important as the human and the person that you're seeing. And it, within a practice, if you see this doctor because you have diabetes and he and or she is very good at diabetes, marvelous. As it happens, you might be diabetic and have a menopause issue where Dr. B may be better at dealing with menopause. So then the receptionist would put you in with Dr. B, who's better at dealing with menopause, although you generally see Dr. A with your diabetes. And I think if people understood that, it would take the pressure off GP practice a bit.
Yeah, and when I threw this out online and on the show, the deluge of contact that I got was around this feeling comfortable and confident in their practice. And I heard from women who would show up with symptoms and be told it's not perimenopause, it's too early, or people just feeling dismissed. And I think it's easy for me to sort of say, get out there, find someone you can trust. But people were kind of replying saying, there isn't anybody else. I have tried. What's your advice there?
Yeah, that's unfortunate to hear that people are feeling that, because that's not what we as GPs want to hear. It's very sad that I think it is out there. And I suppose I work in general practice, and then obviously naturally as being in general practice, you work in out of hours. So you get, when you're in out of hours, you see that from people. They say, oh, I can't get an appointment for my GP for the next 3 weeks. And, you know, my answer would be, well, did you take that appointment? Oh, no, I didn't. So it's about planning. So if you need to see your GP and you've got a significant issue like menopause, like, you know, that's slightly complicated, maybe mental health issues, obesity, lifestyle related issues, those issues, number one, take a little while. And number two, they can be planned. It's not like the sore throat or the vomiting bug that has to be seen on the day. So if there's 3 weeks to see your GP, well, yes, make that appointment. Tell receptionist that this is going to be a menopause consultation. Therefore, the receptionist will allocate the GP more time. And that way they won't be dismissed. What happens often with people is the dismissed, and I see it a lot with me being a female GP in quite a male-dominated practice, is that the person will come in and they will have told the receptionist that they have a chest infection, so that they're squashed in on the day, because we'd see chest infections as very important. So we'll put the person in for that consultation for the chest infection, and you'll do the chest infection, and you're 10 minutes into the consultation. And while you're at it, doctor, would you mind, please, I've actually got a little rash. And you say, well, fair enough, let me look at that, because a rash, you never know what that could be. Let me try that. And actually, you know, while I'm here, do you mind, I've got a few sweats, and I'm just thinking, do I have symptoms of menopause? Menopause, by definition, takes half an hour, 20 minutes to discuss at a minimum. So, you know, after you've done, you're already running late, you were booked in for a chest infection, you've come in with a chest infection and a rash, and now you want to add in menopause. That's often where the dismissed comes in. It's planning. And I think if people had an understanding of how general practice works, and maybe there's a bit more education out there of how to plan your appointment, how to plan what you're doing, because we often get people saying to the receptionist, well, it's not your business what's wrong with me. Well, it isn't, but she's not trying to be nosy. She's trying to get you the right practitioner for the right amount of time at the right time, so that you get the best care that you can.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And, it doesn't mean to put it back on the patient with blame, but this information is quite empowering. And I think even if you do get dismissed the first time, you advocate for yourself, you start to keep a journal of your symptoms, and you book in for a longer appointment, and you bring that and you say, no, you said it isn't perimenopause, but this is what I've experienced over the last month and I want to talk to you about it again. We don't have to kind of slope off and lick our wounds, as it were, although I kind of have been that person. So I'm saying that with absolute empathy.
I think that's exactly the point. It's to say, my favourite consultation, when a patient comes in with a list and it doesn't bother me at all, it's the list. And I get the list and I can go through the list and I can say, well, look, I can do this and I can do this. These three link, I can deal with that today. With regard to this and this, I hear you. I know that that's a problem. It's not as much of an emergency today. Would you mind if I book you in next week? And let's talk about that then.
Yeah.
And then you've got the consult. And always at the end of it, I think most GPs would say, have I dealt with what you needed to deal with today? And that's a nice way to end it. You know, have I done what you needed me to do today? And then somebody might say, no, you didn't deal with my menopause. And you say, but you did come in with your chest infection. So can we book you in for the menopause consultation next week?
Yeah. And I think people obviously think about the cost involved in that they're paying for this and they're paying for next week. And I know there are lots of people struggling to make ends meet. And I completely understand that. But it's an investment, isn't it, in your health? And something else that you really focus on is around lifestyle and preventative medicine. So I did notice, having a look on your website ahead of today, you offer half an hour appointments for people to come in and look at their lifestyle. So yes, that's very different to arriving sick and needing an antibiotic or a prescription or needing secondary care. This is very different. This is an ongoing relationship. And I hope that practices across the country will start to move to that.
Well, I think they will. I mean, the general practice is a lot about lifestyle, and we're taking on a lot of chronic disease. And chronic disease doesn't get better or managed better without changes in lifestyle. But changes in lifestyle are slow. They're incremental. It is back and forward. It's tweaking. It's adding little bits, little bits, little bits. And that's the only way one's going to have ongoing health. And it's like an orchestra. It's an interrelationship between healthcare, lifestyle, mental well-being, you know, relationships. And it's all the different practitioners coming together. And the GP is just one little part of the orchestra. It is not the entire orchestra. And I think the expectation on general practice these days is that it's the GP is all everything. And that's terrible pressure to put on a cohort of people, because we were just one cog in healthcare. We're one cog in wellness. We're one cog in well-being. And I think if patients understood that and they realized that we're just one cog, and we can push you in the directions of the correct cog, and the people have to, they have to put in the effort. And unfortunately, because we don't have, you know, one healthcare system, there are costs involved. And while we'd love it not to be, and we'd love a wonderful magic one, but there isn't. You know, so just like you would pay to get your lawyer to do something, or you'd pay to get your kitchen maker to do it, or you get your hair done, or you do Botox, or you do fillers. People do pay for these things. And it's about, you know, putting your resources where you want them to be. Is it in the chipper and with two or three pints on a Friday night? Or is it the extra bit on your lifestyle, the extra appointment with the doctor? You don't know where people's money is coming from. And I think my experience of general practice is that we know our patients, and we know where people are really, really struggling. And I work with a lot of GPs, and we all do the same. We know when people are really, really struggling, and we don't chase people for money. We don't insist on it. We're not built that way when we know. But unfortunately, as a baseline, there is a cost, and one has to do that.
Well, it sounds like Kildare are lucky to have you. If you want to find out more about Siobhan's work, you can go to watermills.ie. Dr. Siobhan Chidley, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis.
Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.